My name's Carrie Aruis, and I'm glad to see a few of my friends here. I'm one of those guys that was off the trail a lot of times. I retired 2 years ago as a soil scientist with almost 40 years of soil survey mapping experience. And I've got the body and the hurts and aches to show it, too. But every bit of it was worth it. So you're part of my bucket list in retirement. This is a little talk that I've had in the back of my mind for a very few years, but anyway, we're gonna do this now, and I'm gonna show you some things where science, and in particular earth sciences and soils, can be used to find some historical mysteries. And it's a good way that I think to teach for years. During my career, I probably did one a month on it, outdoor education or some kind of educational thing. So anyway, here we are, the Sage of Garza Creek and his Ship of Life, a case study in soil education and the intersection of earth sciences and history. Myself, Dr. Robin Roberts, who did three of my history sections on three of the surveys that I published in the last part of my career, and Phil Smith right here. Okay, Kenzie Witten Jones and his Ship of Life. Three stories came together. A little serendipity involved here as well, after 100 years to solve an old mystery. In the Grangeville Cemetery, in the little town of Armona, not too far from where I live in Hanford, there's this cemetery plot. There's Hanford, where I live. I moved there in 1976. I ended up, the last 12 years of my career, was co-author or author on five surveys, including one in conjunction with Dr. Ron Paskey here up in Yosemite Park. But we're way down there at the bottom in Long Beach. Okay, just zooming in here, taking a quick look at where that little cemetery is. And we'll see it a little bit later. It kind of stands out. We're going to zoom in on it a little bit here. That's the plot. Okay, we'll get back to that. But here's our county, Kings County. It's Hanford is the largest town in that county. It's dominated by a large lake, actually probably the largest freshwater lake west of the Great Lakes, originally. Now gone and farmed, but does come back occasionally, at least in part. We'll talk about that a little more maybe. Okay, here we are. There's where that plot is. The first story is Jones's story. Who he was, Kenzie Witten Jones. He was known as Black Horse Jones because he was a great breeder of Morgan horses. This is Van Buckner, Kings County's first sheriff, riding one of Black Horse Jones's horses. His horses were prized by mortuaries for pulling hearses. In fact, this was his. This was his funeral procession for Kenzie Witten Black Horse Jones. He was a recluse. He lived alone on the west side. He's a very dark figure, tall figure there, a little dog next to it. Some of his cemetery plot was being built at that time. It's on that wagon right there at his house. And this story right here shows how history, you can get part of it right, but maybe not know all of it, at least at any one time. The death of his fiancée only a few days before his wedding drove him into a life of seclusion in the hills west of Avenel, an old oil town. We do know that his fiancée was bringing him some water. What was at the gravesite was this little story that said that when she was bringing him water on the threshing machine, that her skirts got caught in it and she was basically threshed. The other is that she fell down a well. In any event, she was bringing him water. So we have that much. That shows how just a little over 100 years, you may not get the gist, you can get the gist of the story, but sometimes not the specifics. Here he was, the Sage of Garza Creek, and that's what he was known as. He's one of our icons in Kings County, although he had kind of gone into obscurity, I think, until we started kind of resurrecting a little bit of this. At the same time, a contemporary of his, there was another sage, the Sage of Mariposa. Now, John Muir and he actually may have even crossed paths. They were both icons in their own areas, and John Muir, of course, much larger area, but they do have, if you look at them, I mean, they have a lot of a lot of similarities in the things they wore as well. Okay, now, this cemetery plot was 20 years in the making. There's fossils there, there's petrified wood there, there's a huge 1,800-pound sarcophagus made out of the local sandstone. There's also inside of that, hewn out of the large cottonwoods, is the actual coffin. So it's a very unique site. It took him over 20 years to build it, and it's quite a ways away, too, as well. He was a little eccentric, to say the least. You can see his, probably those are Thule elk, I'm guessing, because they had those here at the time, and he put the little antlers on top. There he is, right in there underneath there. You can see where he's kind of hiding out in the shade, because he's out on that west side, right there. Here's his coffin, and he would lie in his coffin for visitors, and so they would, and you can see his instruments down below here that he would use to build things with. So he was eccentric. We think we know where this was, by the way. At the time he came to California, he suffered from consumption, had been given a year to live. However, he did live to be 75, and he died in October of 1909 as he led a horse across Garza's Creek. It was Garza Creek. There is a Garza Creek up north of this area. Second story is my story. 1978, I'm out there mapping soils, first soil survey I worked on, Kings County, doing some recon for this survey. By the way, I typed this whole survey on a manual typewriter, speaking of iOS and everything else around here, with correct tape and whiteout, or you just throw the paper and start over again, you know. So here's our county, and it is a very cool county, I'm not going to divert too much. I got to stay on track here because we don't have much time, but right here is the Kings River alluvial fan. That's the Kings River coming down. A huge lacustrine lake, in acres it was 450,000 acres in size. It's a very large body, and this was the main bulk of it here. But around the edge, sand to clay, you can get just any number of different kinds of soils. Very salty on its edges. The end of the Kaweah River fan coming down from the Sequoias is right here, and it got cut off by that Kings fan. And right here is that Garza Creek watershed where old Black Horse Jones lived. So, 78, I discover a freshly cut large gully caused by a recently constructed earthen dam, probably within the last year before that. Stream had cut a new channel. This didn't exist at the time of Black Horse Jones living out there. And part of an access road. Okay, so here we're down to the site now. We're looking at a quad. Cranhagen Ranch over there. Keep that in mind, too, as well. That's one of his neighbors. Okay, so here's just a few things. You see the earthen dam, existing stream bed. We had a benchmark, which really helped, because we took pictures of that back in the day in 1978. So there's the layout and a new cut in blue. So who put this dam here, when and why? What caused this huge gully, and when did it occur? At this time, I'd never even heard of this guy. Didn't know it. Robin's story is, he's the historian that helped me write my history section. 1982, he wrote several books. His first encounter was at a funeral out there. Here's the grave site. It's a little worn. Sandstone does weather. And he was writing a book. Ended up writing three, and this is one of them. And so there's you can see how this, originally this would have looked quite a bit different. It had a couple things that were taken away from it. One was a chain and some oars as well. These are some of the images at the site. And poetry. Petrified wood. Probably from the west side, and I think I know where it came from too. Granite on top of the petrified wood. And these sayings, which we've deciphered. And so Robin was doing another book, 2007. And in there, he had this picture. It's kind of an iconic picture. There's Black Horse Jones. There's a young kid down at the bottom that was one of the Rhodes family. Was one of the part of the people that helped rescue the Donner Party. There's all kinds of connections here. But we're going to get to some of those as well. So here's... Black Horse Jones, and the story that was actually, this is actually at the gravesite. But here's the deal. It tells a story. that some of which I've just told you. So here's the questions. Why were there no names or dates on his gravestones? Why only a non-specific date of death, October 1909, but at the same time a specific but incomplete description of the circumstances of his death, leading a horse across the stream? If it was known how he died, then why not the exact date? If it was not known, how could the circumstances be known? How could a man who was known as a horse breeder die leading a horse across the stream? Presumably he was familiar with. How could a man who lived on the west side, obviously knew the area intimately, die doing that? So these things stayed that way till I came along. There's this book. I see the picture. I see an article in the Fresno Bee newspaper, 2011, too. So so there's that there. He died leading a horse across Garza Creek. So I remember Garza Creek. I went to my photo album. Here's this picture. And then I contacted Robin Havlin. He lives two blocks from me. And so there it is. It's 2,589 hectares in size. It's only 11.3 kilometers long. The location of a large gully created in 1978 couldn't have been too far from where Jones had died. Garza Creek was such a small watershed, so I wondered. Cranehagen Ranch, close. Good friends with this guy. I became good friends with him and doing those outdoor education things. I was the fossil guy for taking a bunch of kids in their shareholders for their 8,000 acres that they own. And so I took them on a little fossil hunt. And that's how I got to know him, so we've become friends. And he loves history as well. So he gives me this, which I didn't have, the old quad, which says right where I took that picture, Jones Ranch Abandoned. And sure enough, the Jones Ranch and where I took the picture of that 1978 gully were the same place. Okay, now, there's the Jones Ranch, there's the grave site, and they're separated by, I don't know, about 80 kilometers. It's a good distance, especially on a horse. There's the site. I'm going to zoom in on a little bit here. Now, none of those trees were there because Black Horse Jones, his house was there on the stream terrace between that and another piece of an intermittent stream coming in, tributary coming to Garza Creek. So we organized the Black Horse Expedition. And here's the people that went. Here we found the benchmark, and we found the edge of the house. So there's the benchmark. And so we sat there and we talked about this. We could actually find where the foundations of that house were that you saw earlier. Now remember this. I saw this in 78. That's what it looks like now. So it's I do dedicate this to Earl Van Wee, who died 7 months after this picture. So there it is. Mystery solved. Here's these various mysteries, questions. He dies suddenly. We found this in the newspaper. Caused by overexertion while trying to force a horse to cross the stream was the verdict of the coroner's jury. And I would have to say that right here we have Dr. Ron Taske, who does know about horses and mules. He wrote a very good exposition on that. And we'll see a little bit more on that here in a minute. But the date of obituary is Monday, October 11th. He died October 9th, and a J.T. Crow was a witness to it, probably before noon. How could a man who was known as a horse breeder die leading a horse across a stream? Unusual circumstances, usually more than one, cause these things. No rain until 8 days before. Inch of rain a few days before, and 4 days before. And the heavy rainfall might have had something to do with his death. This was in 78. This soil scientist, Mike McElhaney, he lost a boot. And he was smiling at this point. He wasn't smiling when he lost his boot. And so maybe that rainfall had something to do with it. And now we get back to those soil formation factors. Dr. Hans Janney, Roy Simonson, inputs, outputs, those kind of things. And they do fit pretty nicely. Here's what it looked like then. Here's what it looks like now. So basically, we're looking at 34 years of biological activity in time. Parent material, sandstones, mudstones, and alluvium at the bottom end. Generalized soil map, the water seeps in the bottom end, as it usually does, and very, very hard, impenetrable sandstone in the upper part. So, These existed in 1909. It was unusual. The horse had been somewhat fractious. It had knocked him down and refused to cross the stream and escape from him. And right here references Ron Caskey to cross a bridge, recollections of his soil survey horizons, an in-depth discussion of animal refusal to cross waterways. And I might add stubbornness of the horse, not Ron. But. So, one more additional. He was short of breath. He had shown signs. J.T. Crow was the witness, part of the Crow family from Crow's Landing, north part of the state, also the largest wagon train that came across the United States. He had a severe sick spell. Since then, he'd had attacks or spells. Excitement from trying to get this horse to cross when it didn't want to cross, and that's what he looked like before. He was in poor health, so that was the primary thing. One last one. That he'd heard about these horses dying fording the river in the Kings River. And the second set of questions, when was it built? Doesn't really matter, but there was a severe drought in 76-77. I'm talking on the drought on the Wednesday afternoon, two talks. And here's the rainfall data from that winter. Bam, it hit December, January, February, March, 3 to 4.5 inches at that time, a lot. And so there was a lot of days with it. So, fresh warning, one last, well, we just did, I'm going up, oh, sorry guys, we'll get right through it here. Here it is, last few mysteries done. Died October 9th, 1909, heart failure, that's how he died. Why? Because the recent rain created a dangerous situation. The recent incidents of horses dying while crossing a local river created added stress, mostly because he was old and in failing health. When was it built, the dam? Probably summer 77. Response to the drought. Who built it? Undetermined. Why did it occur? Because of that severe winter. So why? Boom. Here we go, guys. This is the last few slides. Stop and think. This collection of nature's formation. Not for the benefit of the dead, but for the living. So put thine house in order, for thou shalt die. As the tree falls, so it rise. I have crossed the stream, by the way, that's how he died, and anchored my boat to the Rock of Ages. There's the tree standing up. Here's his anchor. There's the boat. There's granite rather than sandstone. And this is what I found as the earliest writing on soil formation factors from Job, first book of the Bible written probably. There it is. And that's it.